Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Good evening and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. I'm Sammy Jacobs. Along with me is TJ Inman, and we are wrapping up our college football previews with the Big Ten East. We bring it home in the division that the Indiana Hoosiers call home base as well. So, TJ, final six teams, how are we feeling?
Certainly ready to discuss the rest of the Big Ten East. It's a division that, as Indiana has improved, a few teams in this division have also gotten better. Certainly, though, I think that the race for the East begins and ends in Columbus, but there's some interesting programs here, some historical giants that are kind of looking for answers, and then a couple of schools that are surging, or at least they hope that they're surging. So I think it's going to be a fun podcast to talk about all teams that are on IU's schedule, which we can't say about the West.
Yep. I guess the big thing about the East, can anybody challenge Ohio State in 2021? I think this is the year a lot like 2015, where they had some, I wouldn't say issues at quarterback, but they had some questions about who was the full-time starter and stuff like this. You replace a lot of talent off of a team that that went to the national championship game. Indiana gets them at home. Can anybody challenge Ohio State, or is this, you know, runaway train going to continue to run away with the Big Ten East division?
Yeah, so the operative word there is challenge. I think, yes, teams can challenge Ohio State. I don't see anyone ultimately beating them, and I certainly don't see anyone being able to knock off Ohio State and run the table the rest of the way, or beat Ohio State and only have one loss the rest of the way, because I don't see Ohio State losing twice. If you're going to knock them off and you want to win the East, you've got to get through the rest of the schedule as well. So definitely some question marks, though. I mean, C.J. Stroud looks like the likely starter for the Ohio State Buckeyes. He's very talented, but, you know, very little experience. So, you know, he's going to be starting out at a lower point. I think it's fair to say he's not Justin Fields from a talent perspective. He is very good, though. Now, what he has going for them is a ridiculously good wide receiver core. Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave are a fantastic 1-2 duo. Their tight ends are very good. Jeremy Ruckert is, I mean, he's really talented. He's doesn't produce quite as much as you might think, just because Ohio State doesn't tend to throw to the tight end all that often. That might change with Jeremy Ruckert this year, plus a young cornerback. Running back, I think Master Teague is very good, but don't be surprised if you see some Travion Henderson, who's a true freshman that has a ton of talent, five-star recruit coming in there. So I would not be shocked if Henderson saw the field some and ended up taking away a lot of carries from Master Teague, who, again, very good running back. Offensive line, they bring back Thayer Munford, who's going to be starting for his fourth year at left tackle, which is very rare for a school like Ohio State. So that says a lot about his talent and leadership abilities. I think that they do have probably the biggest issue for this team might be all the losses that they had on the defensive side of the ball. They have to replace all four of their top linebackers. They're going to plug in guys that just by nature of how they approach that position. Nobody that plays at linebacker this year for them is going to have much experience. They did to rotate a lot. They kept those top four guys in the game. So these guys that they're playing at linebacker now largely are just coming off special teams experience. Now, yeah, I'm sure they're going to be very talented, but that's a concern for them.
And it's been a concern for them for several years. You know, it was that linebacker group. I think a couple years ago, it got torched, and they were all right last year. It was more the secondary that had questions after Michael Penix threw for whatever 495 yards on them.
Yeah, and I think it does again.
Yeah, so it's the defensive side of the ball has questions. You know, we'll see. Their schedule's favorable. They do get an early season matchup with Oregon, but I believe it's a noon game, which is a 9 a.m. body clock game for Oregon and things like that.
Yeah,
but Oregon
was furious about that when that got announced.
Yeah, and there was another Pac-12 game. But anyway, you could pencil Ohio State into the Big Ten title game. Not saying that somebody's, that nobody can knock them off. But if you're a betting man, the odds on favorite is Ohio State. Let's go down the rest of the list. A lot of folks have Indiana. We'll talk a lot of Indiana, but a lot of folks have Indiana at second or third in the division, right with Penn State. Let's head to State College and talk about the Nittany Lions. They lose Micah Parsons. They played without Micah Parsons last year. They started the season 0-5, but finished on a four-game winning streak. So it's a big year for Penn State in terms of importance. You have James Franklin, who has been rumored about going to USC and some other places, and you know, the fan base is, they waver on him a lot. They've won a lot of games. They won a Big Ten title. They should have won a Rose Bowl. But a lot of the times, they're games that are too close for comfort due to coaching. You know, they lost last year at IU, a game they shouldn't have lost. All they had to do was fall down, basically take a knee. And they win that game. Not saying that IU got lucky. They took advantage of, Tom Allen let them score, and it worked out. But Penn State should have won that game. All they needed to do was fall down and they win. But there's been a lot of games like that, and they've had their shots at Ohio State and lost them. So, to me, it's the attitude of the fan base towards Coach Franklin and how is it going to turn into a toxic situation like it did at Michigan. You do have to go to Columbus. You get Auburn coming in. If they don't beat Auburn at home and Auburn has a new head coach, I think things turn around. But for Penn State, their biggest question is Sean Clifford of the offense. What does Penn State need to do to challenge Ohio State in the East?
So the big question for Penn State fans is, where are we at as a program? Are we obviously they're not an 0-5 starting program. That happened last year, but I think that the existential question comes into place as, where are we in terms of the Big Ten power structure? How far away have we fallen from Ohio State, and can we close that gap? Are we the 0-5 side? Are we the 4-0 side as far as how they finished? I think that there's definite concerns in terms of the overall talent level on this roster. There are parts of it which are incredibly good. You have Jahan Dotson, very good wide receiver, and Parker Washington is a very good number two wide receiver. If you notice a theme here, a lot of teams have some really good wide receivers, which is why it is so great that Indiana has their secondary in order with Tywan Mullen and Reese Taylor back. They will be very busy going against these talented wideouts. But Noah Kane, back from injury at running back, big question for me. Penn State loves their tight ends. Pat Freiermuth is gone. Do they have a difference maker at tight end? Because that offense really does need one. Question number two, Mike Yurcich comes in from Texas to be the offensive coordinator. That's going to be another offensive coordinator for quarterback Sean Clifford. How much of a difference maker? You said it. How much of a difference maker is Sean Clifford? Is he good enough to get Penn State to where they want to go? If he's not, they don't have anybody behind him with any kind of experience. They had a couple transfers out, including Will Levis transferring out, and then Micah Bowens, who they had high hopes for. He transferred to Oklahoma, which means he'll probably win a Heisman Trophy sometime down the line. That seems to be the way it goes for transfer quarterbacks to Oklahoma. On defense, they've already suffered a couple of season-ending injuries up front. It was a deep defensive line that has lost some of that depth. They lost some really good players. Jason Owe, Shaka Tony are gone. It's going to be difficult to replace those guys. And then Micah Parsons, of course, is in the NFL now as well. So I think that there's a lot of questions about whether or not Penn State has the ability to rise back up and challenge Ohio State again. I don't see it this year. However, you know, their season win total's at 9. I think that's a fair number, and I would probably edge toward the low side of that and take the under. I think 8-4 is the most likely scenario for Penn State.
Yeah, and I think Will Levis just won the quarterback competition wherever he landed. And he was named the starter. Down at Kentucky. So he'll we'll see. Just like with Joe Milton at Tennessee for Michigan, you'll see is this, you know, is it that they can't develop their quarterbacks, or is it, you know, something else? Is it, you know, a talent issue, system issue, or things like that? I think it'll be very telling, because if Joe Milton goes down and does awesome at Tennessee and Will Levis does awesome at Kentucky, Michigan and Penn State fans are going to, you know, scratch their head and say, what are we doing? Especially up in Ann Arbor, where you have Jim Harbaugh is supposed to be the quarterback whisperer. But let's move up. Go ahead.
Really quick, such an interesting start to their season. September 4th, they're at Wisconsin, so they play in Madison. I don't think either team or fan base really knows quite what to expect. Both were disappointed with last season. Both looking for a great start to the year there. And then Ball State, which, you know.
They won the MAC. They were a top 25 team last year. That's a tough one. That's a tough matchup. If you get beat up at Wisconsin, you play Ball State. Ball State's going to, you know, they're not going to be afraid of you.
Right. And then you've got Auburn. So a very interesting start, which could present a springboard to a great season, or you could go like 1-2, or I guess theoretically it's possible to go 0-3 and the bottom totally falls out. But, you know, I think going 1-2 is a realistic scenario that would have people really scratching their heads. And then, by the way, after that, it's Villanova, so a little bit of a get-right game, and then the Hoosiers come to town. So it's going to be very interesting to see where Penn State sits in terms of their mental kind of mental frame of mind, where they're at when IU plays them on October 2nd.
Yeah, and IU's been living rent-free in Penn State's fans' mind for a year. Every social media post is Michael Penix is short. It's look, if Penn State gets right, that's going to be a big revenge game for them. And Indiana's got to be ready. But it's also, are you really going to flush your season down the toilet again because of a call that was super-duper close went against you one time in the history of, like, football for Indiana? So we'll see. Let's head up to Ann Arbor, another team that is – going to be an interesting watch this year. They have a long losing streak to Ohio State. I think it's now almost, it would be 10 years. Well, they didn't play last year, but it will be, I think, 9 games in 10 years. Michigan's last win was in 2011, the transition year between Urban Meyer and Jim Tressel down in Columbus. But, you know, they start off, their schedule is kind of softer. You do have a game against Washington, who comes in as a top 20 team. But it looks like Cade McNamara is going to be the starting quarterback. He had some running back transfers leave the program. You know, new defensive coordinator. You have issues on offense, you know, and things like that. TJ, I remember you saying a couple years ago when they brought that Josh Gattis in as the new offensive coordinator and everybody praised it, you kind of poo-pooed it, and it, you know, you kind of right and correct and predicted that. So it's a big year for Michigan. They everybody knows about the Harbaugh buyout. They do get Northwestern at home from the West. They also get they do have to go to Wisconsin and to Nebraska. We'll see where Nebraska is on October 9th. But Wisconsin's a tough game. Wisconsin basically stole their lunch. Last year, they open up with Western Michigan and NIU. So you should start the year 2-1. Then you get Rutgers. And then back-to-back road trips, Wisconsin, Nebraska, open week, Northwestern at home, at Michigan State, Indiana, at Penn State, at Maryland, and Ohio State. This better be a fast start for Michigan, or it's going to get sour real quick, don't you think?
Absolutely. I mean, Michigan's biggest problem has been their inability to solve the quarterback question under Jim Harbaugh, which is surprising. I don't think anybody would have expected that, you know, this many years in, that they would not have found a quality quarterback. I think they have found the guys that have been there, but it has not worked whatsoever. they have to figure that out first and foremost. If they don't, nothing else that happens is going to matter. They're going to continue to struggle. So Cade McNamara, next up. He looked all right in the time he saw last year. I wouldn't say he was amazing, but he looked all right. So we'll see kind of where that goes. Running back, I don't think they have. I think Blake Corum is probably going to be the starter there initially. Watch out for Donovan Edwards, who's a, you know, big time recruit that they got from Michigan, from the state. He's going to play pretty early. They've got a couple of players on offense that I do think, you know, get kind of lost in the shuffle that has been the mess for them. Ronnie Bell is a really good wide receiver. He's very tough to cover. And I don't think he gets any credit because oftentimes people are just focused on why is Michigan a mess. Ronnie Bell has been a bright spot for them and should continue to be. I don't think their offensive line has been very good the past couple of years. They need to improve that. Up front, they lost some players to transfer. They lost some players to the NFL draft like Quiddy Pay. Obviously, the big storyline is Don Brown is out and they've replaced him with a new defensive coordinator. They're switching to a different system. I would expect to see less reliance on all-out blitzing and then man-to-man coverage and hoping that your corners can stand up. They haven't had the talent to play that type of system for quite a while, and they just didn't adjust. And when they did try to adjust, they still got picked apart. So I think bottom line, Michigan's talent level is not that good right now. They're recruiting fairly well, and their most recent class was better than I thought it was going to be, But those guys, it's not an Alabama or Ohio State recruiting class. They're not going to be ready to contribute right away. So I think Michigan is going to continue to have some issues. I'm not sure exactly where – I haven't made up my mind on where I've got them in the pecking order. But I like them beating Western Michigan. I think they lose to Washington, which is going to have them probably needing to take care of somebody else that you wouldn't expect them to beat. But I think that 8 wins is an expectation with this schedule, and that's not even being like putting myself in the head of a Michigan fan. Anything not above that, I just wonder how much longer you continue to hope that Harbaugh is going to figure it out.
I don't think you do. I think if they finish, yeah, I think if they finish below Indiana and Penn State, if they finish fourth or worse, I think he's done. It's just there's no way forward.
Right. That would include another loss to Ohio State.
Yep.
I mean,
probably a home loss to IU, a loss to Penn State. I mean, this is a team that hasn't lost at home to IU since the 1960s. That fan base is – they're going to turn really quick again. And now they have the financial leverage to get rid of him. So
you've already tried switching coordinators. Like that
– yeah.
That's kind of the last straw is, okay, we've switched everything else. Everything else has been switched, and we're still not winning.
Yep.
At the level we want to. So the only thing left to try is a new head coach.
Yep. Let's move, stay in the Mitten State. Let's head to Michigan State. They're coming off the season, which is it's a weird season. Mel Tucker came in, I think in March, didn't have any spring practice, didn't have a recruiting class, things like that. I think they have 30 plus transfers coming in. They too have to figure out their quarterback. They get a tough test opening night at Northwestern at 9 o'clock on ESPN on that Friday night. They get a get right game against Youngstown State. Then they have to go down to Hard Rock Stadium in Miami to play the Hurricanes. Then you get Nebraska at home, Western Kentucky at home, at Rutgers, at Indiana. Rutgers knocked them off last year. Then you get Michigan at home, at Purdue, Maryland, at Ohio State, Penn State. They should be better than last year, but does Michigan State get to a bowl game? I think they're still a year or two off from there.
You know, speaking of teams that have struggled to solve the quarterback position, Michigan State's offense has been just awful at that position for the past few years. There's no way that Anthony Russo, their transfer from Temple, is not an improvement over what we've seen the past couple seasons in East Lansing. Now, Russo had a lot of turnover problems with the Owls, and it's a big step up from Temple to the Big Ten East. But I do think that is something that should offer at least some reason for optimism, is an improvement, albeit maybe somewhat slight, in the quarterback position. Michigan State has to get back to being able to run the ball. They haven't been able to do that for a while. They did add some running back transfers as well. They were very active in the transfer portal. Their offense just needs to improve across the board. There's no reason to focus on just one area, but they need to improve across the board there. On defense, I think that they'll probably take a little bit of a step back from what they were last year. Antoine Simmons left for the NFL. They also lost Naquan Jones. So kind of their anchors on defense are gone. The overall talent level is probably better because Mel Tucker is recruiting pretty well. especially compared to what Mark D'Antonio did it toward the end of his tenure. So I think the overall roster is probably more talented, but it's still very young. I think it's going to take a little bit of time for them to gel and grow, especially all the transfers that they brought in. So I don't think that this is a year Michigan State's going to take a huge leap forward, but I would expect some more competent offensive play for the Spartans and maybe be able to challenge a couple of teams. You know, you're looking at the top, in my opinion, you're looking at the top four in the East, which includes Indiana, Michigan, Penn State, and Ohio State. Ohio State's in Tier 1 by themselves. Indiana, Penn State, Michigan are in Tier 2. To be determined how they kind of shuffle out, and one of them could drop down if they are disappointing. And then you're looking at Rutgers, Michigan State, and Maryland fighting right behind those. I don't think there are any bad teams in the Big Ten East, but I do think it's possible that Michigan State is the lowest Big Ten East team by the time we get through to the end of the year.
Yeah. Let's go final two teams, TJ, real quickly. We have Maryland and Rutgers. Maryland, they keep recruiting well, but it doesn't show up on the field. I think that's an indictment of the coaching staff of Mike Locksley. If you look at his coaching record, it is absolutely abysmal compared to – I mean, it's abysmal anyway if you compare it to anybody, you know, but us. But, hey, 0-0 is better than what he has. But in comparison to his recruiting record, it is a shock that Maryland can't get to a bowl game in the Big Ten.
Yep. And it's a shock that he continues to recruit as well as he does. I don't know what he's selling to recruits at this point, but it continues to work, at least getting guys to campus anyway. The good news for them, Talia Tagovailoa is back at quarterback. He's better than I thought he was going to be. That's for sure. I'll give him credit. He continues to play pretty well when he's on the field. They don't really have anything behind him in terms of depth, but I think the biggest surprise to me, though, they're great at wide receiver. They've got some real weapons there, some real athletes. They've got a ton of speed. They look like a really good team when you line them up and look at the skill positions. But at running back, I don't see a difference maker, which is bizarre because that was kind of the one thing that Randy Edsall seemed to always have was a difference-making running back. They don't have that. I mean, Teyon Fleet Davis is probably the guy that's going to get the first shot, but – you know, they don't really have that standout running back, which I think is a surprise. They're going to rely heavily on kind of multiple looks, a lot of shifting on offense, and throw deep to those wide receivers and give them a chance. Probably a lot of four wide sets, get your most talented players on the field, try and spread out the defense, and hope that their receivers can beat your corners consistently. I think that there's a lot of questions, though, for this team in the trenches. Offensive line, defensive line just hasn't been good enough under Mike Locksley. I don't see that changing this season either. I think this is a team that you can physically out-muscle and kind of beat into submission.
Yeah, and he probably gets a couple more years. Just based on, you know, he was Maryland's top pick. Again, it's another, he's been the guy there and the players wanted him, the alumni wanted him. It hasn't worked out. I think they beat Texas a couple of times. Like, they just haven't taken that next step. And I don't think they're a good fit in the Big – their fan base just doesn't care about being in the Big Ten. They want to play Duke. They want to play North Carolina. They want to play, you know, Virginia and Virginia Tech. and those local teams that they've had rivalries with for 100 years. So it's another like reshuffling that just hadn't worked out. But let's get to the other newest addition of the Big Ten in Rutgers with Greg Schiano. They took a huge step forward last year. They won 3 games. I think they went winless in the Big Ten the last 2, or maybe they've won 1 or 2 games combined the last 2 years. But, you know, they knock off Michigan State in the opener. They beat Purdue. And it's the energy around the Rutgers football program is cycling back to where they were, you know, between 2006 and I think 2011 when Schiano left. And there is a ton of talent in New Jersey. This team plays super hard. They're starting to recruit really, really well. You know, is this the year that Rutgers goes back to a bowl game? They had a nice run there in Schiano's and Kyle Flood's early years at Rutgers. Or are they still a year off from taking that next step?
Yeah, I don't think it's quite there yet. However, their draw out of the West, they do get Northwestern and Illinois. Those are both on the road, but still, those you have a chance to win those games, especially with some of the injuries Northwestern has right now that have been announced recently. So you've got a chance to get those, and then you get Wisconsin at home, which, you know, that's not a good draw, but you got to play somebody good. You know, you've got a home game against Maryland. You have a home game against Michigan State. Your non-conference schedule should be 3 wins, Temple, Syracuse, Delaware. So there's going to be opportunity there. I don't think they get the 6, but I do think that they can get to 4 or 5 and continue that progression. Schiano's building Rutgers, as was expected when he got that job. That was a hire that made perfect sense. And I think it's going to pay off. I don't think it pays off quite yet with the bowl game, but I think that is coming. Noah Vedral, solid quarterback for them. But I don't think that they have too many guys on the offensive side of the ball that are going to scare Big Ten defensive coordinators. They don't have that top-end talent that nearly every other team in the East has. I would not put their skill position talent over anybody in the Big Ten East, except for Michigan State, and that would be a bit of a toss-up. On defense, you're right. They play really hard. They get back Olakunle Fadukasi. He was the Big Ten leading tackler last year, one of the best defensive players in the Big Ten. They also get back Tyshawn Fogg and a couple of other guys as well. I think that the secondary is a bit of a concern. And I think the defensive line, really the trenches as a whole, both lines, are not physically there yet to compete in the Big Ten East at a real high level. But I do think it's very realistic to expect them to knock off a couple of people that you wouldn't expect to. Possibly, you know, the Michigan State game at home, Northwestern on the road, Illinois on the road. I think it's possible that they could go to Michigan and scare Michigan. They played them very tough last season. In Maryland at home, you know, you look at their away games, though. Indiana, probably not going to be a win for them unless IU's got some injury problems. You know, it's November 13th, so you never know. Away at Penn State, away at Michigan, Ohio State at home. Those ones are probably ones that they're just not ready to get yet. But make no mistake, this is a program that's on the rise. If I'm looking at Michigan State, Rutgers, and Maryland, and forecasting out for the next 3 years, which one of those I think is going to have the most Big Ten wins, I'm taking Rutgers.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think they're in the best trajectory. And, you know, it's good for their fan base. They have a loyal fan base who's, you know, it's small, but they're there week in and week out, no matter, you know, how good or bad the team is playing. So anyway, that does it for our college football previews. TJ, the season's right around the corner. Any final thoughts before we get into game week preparations?
No, I am ready to start talking IU. We'll dial in on them next week and then start turning our attention toward the Iowa Hawkeyes. It's going to be here very, very soon, and I am fired up.
Me too. We're all fired up. Keep coming back to HoosierHuddle.com. We have our position previews coming out, practice reports, notes and quotes from press conferences, all that coming up and more, as well as the final, you know, we're down to the final 15, 16 days of our countdown to kickoff, and we'll be back with more great content. Follow us on Twitter at Hoosier_Huddle. Give us a like on Facebook as well. Thank you, TJ, for joining me, and enjoy the rest of your night. All right, that does it for tonight's podcast. We'll be back next week to talk, do our preview of the Indiana Hoosiers. So tune in. We'll go over every position, new players, most important players coming back, things like that. So hopefully you'll join us, and we'll be back next week.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.